from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football as Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. It's NFL Lunch. See what's going on around the NFL. Let's go out to Cleveland. They gave in a 3-year extension to their linebacker. I don't want to mess up names.
Jock.
But yeah, everybody calls him J-O-K. Gave him a 3-year extension worth up to $39 million. This deal includes $25 million guaranteed for him. He's been the old saying, I guess, since he's been drafted is he was drafted for Lamar Jackson. He's Spy drafted him. As a guy that can kind of mirror Lamar as best as you possibly can in the open field. And he's a part of that dynamic defense that Cleveland has built, and he's been really good for them besides just the Ravens games. I've liked him since he's joined the Browns.
No, he's a good player. I think he played with Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I think they crossed paths there. But, yeah, he can run. He's undersized, but he can really run, and he's physical. Yeah, I like him. I think he's a really good player.
Let's go out to Dallas. We know that CeeDee Lamb is still waiting for his extension out there. There's been a lot of back and forth between him and the Cowboys organization. Michael Parsons, he was asked to give his input on it and was asked basically if he believes CeeDee Lamb's holdout that he's going through right now that's reached 21 days in training camp will extend into the regular season. Michael Parsons says, "Oh, you're going crazy." He says that he believes that CD, we have our talks, but at the end of the day, me and CD and all of us, we kind of know what it is. CD is a part of the brotherhood, whether he likes it or not. He knows he's not going anywhere. The business side, they're going to take care of him, but obviously we miss him. I mean, he's one of the best people you can have in a locker room, and I'm pretty sure he'll be here soon because no doubt about it, week one, he will be suited up for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you know, I mean, you can be in really good running shape and all, but you got to get in football shape. And, you know, what's the difference? All right, like, let's say that they have an 8-play drive, you know, for a touchdown, and he runs a go route. Now you got to jog back, mm-hmm. and then you got to run in a, you know, there's football shape that you got to get into, and you got to, you know, work on your chemistry with, you know, with your quarterback and everything else. So, just showing up the week of the game, that to me, that's not good. I mean, they need to get it done as soon as possible. And I mean, the comparables are all there to get it done. And I don't know what the problem is, why they can't get it done, but they need to get it done ASAP.
Let's go to some injury news. We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but if you missed it, Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back for the Detroit Lions, sources are saying that they don't believe that it's going to be considered anything significant. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. The team will be very cautious with rest and rehab to make sure he's 100% healthy for the start of the season. Staying in the NFC North out in Chicago, looks like DJ Moore limped off the field today with an apparent ankle or foot injury. That's obviously not good for that Bears offense that, albeit has a lot of weapons, but DJ Moore is one of the better weapons that they have right now. Yep. So I'm sure they're kind of holding their breath with him.
Yeah, and he just signed a new contract extension, mm-hmm. too. I guess the worst thing that it could be, I mean, if it's just a sprained ankle or something, you know, as long as it's not a high ankle sprain, he'll be fine. You just don't want turf toe or something like that, which, you know, for a receiver, you know, with your toe, makes it hard to get in and out of cuts. But, you know, like you said, Cordell, he's a big piece of what the Bears offense is.
Let's go out to Tennessee with the Titans. J.C. Latham apparently limped off the field about 15 minutes ago. They're saying that they have been evaluating his left lower hamstring out there. It's the thing this time of the year. A lot of these soft tissue injuries are happening for guys. It's hot. A lot of running and stopping and running and stopping. So this is kind of the norm type of injury that we see.
Well, especially Latham's, what, about 330 pounds?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a big man, and you know, you start to, your legs get tired, and then you're running, you're pulling, you're running down the field, you pull a hammy. Yeah, and the thing is with those hammies, take them slow because you don't want them happening again. And, you know, like when I had a hammy one time, Cordell, you know, I kept going, and, like, what happened was, you're favoring the other. You're putting so much pressure on the other leg. I pulled that one too.
Mm.
You know, so yeah, you just got to take it real slow with those.
Former Raven looks like he could be coming back to the area, not to the Ravens. Grant Paulson out at 106.7 The Fan in D.C. is saying that sources are telling him that the Commanders are working towards signing Trace McSorley to the team ahead of Saturday night's preseason game in Miami. Sam Hartman, one of the backups, looks like he's probably going to be out for that game, so McSorley could be coming back to the area.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, seemed like good guy and all that. You know, I wasn't a big Hartman fan. He was a Notre Dame quarterback. He was a good-looking kid. You know, that's what was talked about a lot. But I think McSorley will probably be a little bit better than Hartman.
Also, looks like it's some injury news possibly out in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans apparently left practice early today, and that's not what you want to see. He's another one that just got that extension this offseason, a hefty one at that. Rightfully so. I think the world of Mike Evans. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL, but obviously that'd be a huge blow to Tampa Bay if this turns out to be something serious.
Did it say what he hurt?
I'm not seeing exactly what he hurt. It's just saying that he left practice early today.
Yeah, a lot of guys kind of towards the end of camp here, you know, receivers. You know how much receivers run during camp? I mean, mm-hmm. they run all day long. Those legs start to get a little tired because what you want to do is you want to get them refreshed for the season because they've been running and running and running.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to some Orioles stuff. Orioles, they're back at it tonight, game two against the Washington Nationals. They're looking to even the series after dropping game one last night. We'll hear some post-game audio from Brandon Hyde and the losing pitcher, Trevor Rogers, next here.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're on the Fan. Following last night's loss, here he is with some thoughts on the game.
Losing 4-2, we got a guy on base. Yeah, middle of the order, third time through, and I thought he threw okay. He left a few off-speed pitches up that Wood got him a few times. We didn't score much early. But yeah, Bake had a tough time. Aiken wasn't his best. I'm happy about Soto. That was a highlight tonight, because we need him badly. And so the way he threw the ball, that was, hopefully we can take the next step forward for us.
I mean, yeah, you're kind of grasping at straws to look for anything positive when you lose a game like that to a team like that at home. But yeah, Soto is kind of the underlining positive from it all. I don't know if he's going to carry that into his next outing, but they're just looking for any signs of life from him right now.
Oh, anything positive? Yes, no doubt about it, because he was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And what they love is, they love his potential. You know why? Because they love that 99 mile an hour. And
oh, yeah.
That's what they love. And, you know, potential means all that means is you haven't done it yet.
And Brandon High is right. I mean, they are going to need him. They're still trying to figure things out in this bullpen. And if Soto is able to start to pitch at his best, he could be a key piece for them on the back end of the bullpen. And he could be one of those candidates. You know, I'm not looking at him to be a closer right now, but he could definitely be one of those guys that finds a role for himself on the back end of the bullpen if he can show that, you know, he consistently has it right now. Right now, you just can't trust him.
Absolutely. And he's got to earn the trust. And he took a step last night. And you know what that means? That means that he'll get another opportunity. And if he does there, then he's going to start to get more opportunities and more critical situations.
Let's hear more from manager Brandon Hyde. Here he is giving his thoughts on the team giving away runs in the first inning.
Well, Mountie needs to look the runner back at third base, and I think the throw kind of took him into the runner toward the field side, so it kind of made him turn his back, but you had to have some awareness there and check the runner at third base.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what it is. And I mean, you listen to Hyde over the last few games, post-game, he's kind of getting tired of some of the stuff that he's seeing. You know, his tone is changing. He's holding guys accountable publicly more and more. And at the end of the day, a lot of it is going to fall at his feet.
No doubt.
He's not holding punches, it feels like, as much these days.
Well, the manager, you're in charge. Your ship is, you know, wavering right now. You got to get the ship back on track, and that's his job. I mean, he's responsible for the baseball team and, you know, what's out there on the field and how they play. And if they're not playing good defensively and they're not pitching well and they're inconsistent and all that, it comes back to the manager is the one going to get fired.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch gears. Let's hear from the starting pitcher for the Orioles last night that also was the losing pitcher in the game. This Trevor Rogers, here he is talking about changing up the pitches based on the hitter.
Definitely the opponent. I think just the amount of times I've faced them in the past, they're really looking for that changeup late. So I was just trying to land a few more sliders just to get them off the changeup a little bit.
Yeah, obviously he comes from that division over there that the Nationals are in. So he's used to playing against those guys being from the Marlins. So they had a pretty good scouting report on him.
Mm-hmm.
That said, he just hasn't really shown to have it much this season. I know his last start was a nice bounce back, but you look at his season as a whole from his time in Florida to his time now in Baltimore that we've seen him, is looking like a rough year for Trevor Rogers.
Yes. I mean, what he's put out there thus far. I mean, you talk about trust. You know, you're the manager. How do you trust him in, high-level situations or in critical situations, or you get into the playoffs? How can you, put your stamp on him that, yeah, I trust that guy? Because the people you put out there in those types of situations, you know, those are guys that you think can go win for you and you know can go win for you.
Let's hear one more from Trevor Rogers. It was his first time pitching at Camden Yards last night. Here he is talking about that experience.
Great atmosphere, Fan base was there. It was great. Obviously want better results. But, yeah, it was really fun.
Probably not that fun. But,
no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
He didn't sound happy.
Yeah, I mean, what is not much to be happy about for him these days. But and we had, I forget who it was that called earlier. I think it was Rashawn, talking about it being his first time at Camden Yards and stuff like that. I just don't have it in me to give out any more excuses to anybody right now. It is what it is. I understand the predicament that they're in with their pitching staff right now, injury related wise, and they don't have a lot of options to go to. The pitching isn't necessarily what gets me going as much, because that's something that I expect to be inconsistent. I expect that to be a struggle for them right now. It's all the other things. The defense is something that drives me nuts. The plate appearances, the lack of consistent major league at bats,
yep,
is what drives me crazy with this team. The fact that they can't, I know that they're capable of doing it, but they're not able to consistently go out there and get the big hit when they need it with runners in scoring position. It just drives me bonkers.
And it seemed like all the batters were having trouble with the changeup.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday was, so all the batters having trouble with the changeup. I guess, do you change your, you got to kind of change your approach. I think Holiday did, the later one, when he got the single,
because right.
I saw, I think he fouled off. He had 9 pitches on the single, and he fouled off a couple of those change-ups that he had struck out on earlier. So, there's just, we talk with the Ravens, O-line pass rush, big concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep mentioning the same things over and over and over, the concerns we have with the Orioles. But the thing is just like if you compare it to football, we'd be going into the last quarter of the season, and if you still have those issues,
yeah,
they're going to be even more magnified
right
in those critical games. And that's what's going to happen to the O's. I mean, because teams are going to study you more and everything else. And if you're not holding on runners and you're doing, they're going to be running on doing all kinds of things.
Orioles looking to take back the division lead tonight, hopefully with a win over the Nationals. The Yankees, they're still at it with the White Sox tonight in Chicago as well. So we'll see what happens with that one. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Jim Hunter, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Talk to him about that Orioles loss that last night. Does he think they'll bounce back tonight with Kramer on the mound? We'll talk to him next here on The Fan. While we're about to talk to Jim Hunter, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, longtime voice of the Orioles. What's going on, Jim?
How you doing there, Cordell?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Orioles, they fall to the Nationals last night, 9-3. Brandon Hyde called this team inconsistent. And I think that's what kind of the term we've been using for a while now to describe this team. Will they get back to being a consistent baseball team, you think, before the end of the season?
Well, you hope they will, but unfortunately, the starters are the reason they're inconsistent. I mean, you look at the last seven games. The starters have only one win, and that was Zach Eflin in Tampa in the first game of that series over the weekend. And if the starters don't give them a chance to win, it's very difficult to win. And last night, Trevor Rogers goes five innings. He lost five runs on seven hits, and a very young and aggressive Nationals team really took it to him. So, you know, I do believe they have the talent to be more consistent. They haven't really played consistent baseball since the end of June. But, again, it's all going to come down to the pitching. It always does. The starter's ERA is now 3.81, which is, a tad on the high side. You don't want to tell your hitters, hey guys, go get us five and we have a chance to win. So if the starters can put it together, you know, they can't lean on Burns and Eflin and then hope for the best the other three games.
Jim, you know what's crazy is last year they were a very consistent baseball team, but they had a great defense. They were playing great defensively. They were runners in scoring position. They were doing well there. They were winning the one-run games. And this year they're not doing any of those.
Yeah, you're right, Vinny. I mean, you know, the defense has tightened up as of late. There's only one error in the last four games. But I can't disagree with you. You know, plays that need to be made need to be made. And, you know, runners in scoring position, that's a big stat because, you know, you look at that game that they lost in Tampa 2-1 on Sunday, they had so many opportunities to add to their run total before Tampa Bay even scored. And, you know, last night they go 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, whereas the Nationals had a very good night. I mean, the one inning, they were able to get two sack flies. They had second and third and nobody out, a sack fly to right, and the runner from second tags and goes to third, and the next hitter hits a sack fly to left. You know, that is manufacturing runs, and unfortunately the Orioles, as of late, have had a tough time doing that.
We're talking to Jim Hunter, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And last night, another poor outing for Trevor Rogers. Jim, the deadline is come and gone. They don't have many options left in the organization. What is the plan now? Is it kind of just treading water with the starting rotation?
Well, you know, as you said, unless they go to the minors and recall somebody, and unfortunately McDermott got hurt, he might have been an option. But, you know, Rogers has been with the team now for three starts, and in two of the three starts, he didn't give them a chance to win. And that's what the starter's number one job is. He has to give his team a chance to win, and if he gets the W, so be it. But the starter's main job is to give the team a chance to win, and unfortunately, Rogers isn't doing that. And this is a big start tonight for Dean Kramer, you know, because in his last start, he didn't pitch necessarily very well. That was in Toronto, the last game of the series. He only went 4 1/3 and allowed five earned runs. So, you know, again, that's another start where Kramer in his last start didn't give the Orioles a chance to win. And that's what they got to get back to. I mean, again, you can't rely on Burns and Eflin and then hope for the best in the other three starts.
Jim, what are you seeing? Like, all the opponents, as soon as they get on base, they're putting their track shoes on. Then it's a sprint to second. You know, what do you see? Why is it so easy for them to steal bases on the Orioles?
Well, I think it's the starting pitchers or the pitching overall. You know, there's a time that you need to get it to the plate to give the catcher a chance. And last night, Rutschman almost caught one of the stealers, but the ball skipped off Holiday's glove as he was trying to apply the tag. But it's all about holding the runners on and giving your catcher a chance to throw the potential base stealer out. And, I remember when Buck Showalter was here, and he used to say, if you can't get it to the plate in enough time for the catcher to have a chance, you're not going to pitch. And unfortunately, it seems to be a staff issue. You know, Corbin Burns is probably the most guilty of it because he's so deliberate to the plate. Now, he obviously is their best pitcher, and you're not going to hold that against him. But, you know, the word gets out, and it's a copycat league. And if some teams are having success in any area on the field, other teams are going to see that. Their advanced scouts are going to see that. And the Nationals have a young, aggressive, and very fast team. And I would guess they would do it again tonight if they get on base.
About a week or so ago, Jim, we saw Brandon Hyde shake this lineup up a little bit, have Colton Kowser now at the leadoff spot. How do you like seeing Colton Kowser leading off for this lineup more times than not? And could we see any other shakeups to the lineup?
Well, I'd like to see Coby Mayo in there. You know, he's found a seat on the bench, and it's as if he disappeared. I just don't understand why you would call up one of your top prospects and not give him regular playing time. I realize he doesn't have a hit yet. I realize he's striking out a lot. But you're not going to break out of a slump by sitting on the bench. I love Kowser in the leadoff spot. I think he's a very aggressive hitter. I think he has a very good batting eye. And he gets on base quite a bit. But I would love to see Mayo in there. Maybe he'll run into one and help them out. You know, I understand they're a little concerned about his defense, but if that was the case, they shouldn't have called him up. You know, these guys got to play. And if he's not going to play, they should send him back to AAA so he could get some at-bats and get his timing back. He's not going to get his timing back sitting on the bench.
Hey, Jim, it was kind of, you know, the mental error by Mountcastle, you know, last night. That was kind of an embarrassing situation, I think, for him, you know, to give up that run early.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. They definitely botched that. You know, it was a good pickoff move, but Wood wanted to get picked off because he was hoping that exactly what happened would happen. And Mountcastle's got to be thinking about that runner at third, and he really never even looked at him.
Nope.
You know, obviously he didn't throw to the plate, but that just can't happen. That stuff you work on in spring training, and you work on it quite a bit in spring training. So I'm sure Mountcastle won't do that again. You're right, it was embarrassing, but a major league team's got to do a better job at that.
Jim, one of the few bright spots last night was Gregory Soto coming out and actually looking pretty good for them. He had three outs on eight pitches, seven strikes out of those eight pitches. And Brandon Hyde said he was kind of the bright spot of the game because they're going to need him going forward. And he's right. They're still trying to figure things out on the back end of this bullpen. If Soto is able to show that he can consistently be relied on, where could he slot in, best case scenario?
Well, to protect the lead late in the game and maybe even close out a game. I know right now, I guess Dominguez is the guy they would go to first. But he showed last night what he can be when he has command. It's all about command with him. You can't teach 98. You either have it or you don't, and he has it. And when he throws strikes and gets ahead, and Cordell, you made a very good point there. Eight pitches, seven strikes. That meant that the hitters were defensive because they were behind in the count, and he was able to go right at them and try to get them out, and he did. Three up, three down. He looked very good. But, you know, he's an eighth-inning guy or a closer guy if he has his command. But that's what it's all about with him, and he showed last night what he can be if he does have his command because he was outstanding last night.
Jim, you mentioned how important tonight was. I think it's big tonight because then you got Boston for four, you know, and if you screw that up, then Boston is right back. Then it becomes a three-team race instead of two. You know, if they can win three out of four from Boston, they can kind of put Boston in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, the Red Sox have won two in a row. They're six and a half back of the Yankees for first place. They're six back of the Orioles for now second place in the division. But you're right. I mean, the games within the division and overall the Orioles, even though they dropped that series in Toronto on the last road trip, they have a very good record within the division. And you're right, Vinny. I mean, if they can win three out of four before they go on the road next week to play the Mets in New York, that would fend well for them in positioning for a playoff spot. I mean, you know, we're kind of talking down about this team. We have to remember they're still 20 games above 500.
Yeah.
And even though they've been inconsistent since the beginning of July, they still have a lot of talent. And again, it all comes down to the starting pitching. If the starting pitching can improve and get more consistent, they'll be able to go on a run.
Jim, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. We look forward to hearing you back on Baltimore Baseball tonight. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up. Take one last trip through the fun house before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. Their quarterback, their rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, we talked about it, I think, yesterday about him having meniscus surgery. It was unclear whether he needed to have a full surgery or a trim, but it looks like he did have full meniscus surgery earlier this morning, and he will miss the entire 2024 season. So that's one rookie quarterback who's already gone right now. Also, to here with the Ravens, we talked a little bit earlier about Mark Andrews having a car accident this morning. Looks like he's okay. He won't be at practice today, which was apparently scheduled for him to not be at practice today. He did make it to the facility after the accident and was in the team meetings this morning. The Ravens also, within the last hour, or last 30 minutes, I should say, sent out a memo about offensive line coach Joe D, who was apparently hospitalized over the weekend for an acute illness, which will require ongoing treatment for an extended period of time. The hearts of the entire Ravens organization are with Joe D and his family, and they'll continue to fully support them throughout his recovery. John Harbaugh has a statement here talking about Coach D is widely respected and cherished in our organization. As he focuses on his health, we offer him unwavering support. In the interim, we welcome George Warhop to our coaching staff with expertise in guiding top-level offensive linemen. His dedication and strong character will continue to develop our offensive line during Coach D's absence.
I looked up where George Warhop had been from. I knew him when he was at Arizona and stuff. He's 62 years old. I think he was in Tampa with Monken.
Okay.
So that may be the connection there, and he may have familiarity with terminology and stuff. When you're just coming in with two weeks before the first game, you're kind of learning on the run.
Let's get to the fun house.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
I'll start with this texter here. This is from Barron, who says the O's are limping into the playoffs, and this is the second year in a row that they didn't better themselves at the trade deadline when they had the best farm system in the game. In my opinion, Barron says here, front office is starting to look really questionable.
I could buy some of the gripes with maybe the last couple of trade deadlines. Definitely probably a little underwhelming. It was people that wanted them to trade Jackson Holliday at the deadline, and he looks like he's the guy that they thought he was. So I don't have a problem with that. But last year, for sure, I had my issues. I'm not ready to say that they're limping into the playoffs just yet. We still have another month and a half left of the season. They could definitely catch fire here, but albeit, it looks like it's going to be tough, especially with their rotation issues.
And let me, everybody wants to criticize Elias, but, you can't trade. It takes two to tangle. They didn't want to trade Scooble. They didn't want to trade Crochet. They didn't want to trade those guys unless you were going to way overpay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need to do that. So, to criticize their offseason, what they did at the trade deadline, you can't trade for somebody if the other team doesn't want to trade them. So there wasn't a lot of guys out there. That was kind of the word. And that's why they want to push the trade deadline back to August 15th so there's more sellers. And then it makes the trade deadline more interesting.
I don't know how you can argue against the Eflin acquisition.
No, the Eflin, the only one I have an issue with is the Rodgers one. If we want to have a gripe about Trevor Rodgers, then so be it. But other than that, I don't have an issue with them not getting Scooble at the expense of trading their entire farm system when Jackson really didn't get a chance to show what he could do, and now he is.
This one here on the Ravens, the backup quarterback situation. This texter with an interesting thought says, Tyler Huntley, mark my words, will be back with the Ravens for cheaper than before. Browns simply have way too many quarterbacks on the roster. He will be cut. My guess is Ravens scoop him back up.
It's Lamar's boy.
I think been there, done that. You know, I mean, he showed that as a backup, he couldn't win.
Do you think
for
Josh
them.
Johnson is better than
Huntley?
Than Huntley as a backup?
Me personally, I'd rather have Huntley, but you know, that's whatever. You know what? For the backup quarterback, whatever Todd and John want, that's fine with me. I don't really care.
Right.
As long as Lamar's healthy, you know, I'm good. Lamar gets hurt, you know, whether it be Tyler, whether it be Josh, they're in trouble.
Honestly, it's not much of a difference. I mean, I'd rather have Huntley as well,
he's
but
younger.
I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, yeah, Huntley gives me – or you know, it could be the exact same result. If they both have to go out there and finish the last five games of the season, you can go 0-5 with both of those guys, realistically.
And that's just simply – I'm with Vinny, you know, there's people in the fan base kind of clamoring for, you know, a minor trade to get rid of or go acquire a backup from someone else.
It's not
or
worth it.
Sign Ryan Tannehill, for example. I mean, why are you going to give up those assets or that money when it doesn't matter anyway?
Right.
If Ryan Tannehill's coming in here to replace Lamar Jackson, they're losing anyway. It doesn't matter who your backup is.
I probably feel better about Tannehill than any of the – and maybe even I've been hearing like Jason push Taylor Heinicke. I didn't even really think about him. Heinicke is one that – he's won games as a starter with less around him. So maybe – but the statement still stands. Without Lamar, they're doomed. But I just don't want it to be the – I just don't want to wave the white flag. I don't think anybody wants that. If Lamar's gone, God forbid, week 10, then you need somebody that can at least give you – keep you in the realm of fighting for a playoff spot.
I would say, like, if Lamar went out, like, week 2 or week 3, they're going to get some – look what Cleveland did and got Flacco and went on a run. I mean, they got him late.
It might be too late at that point, though. Flacco was on the couch.
I know.
And even then, I mean, that's a great situation to come into. And that's why I said the Ravens
Ravens.
Right. They're more fit now to kind of keep it going if they don't have
Lamar.
And they
got a good defense.
Yeah. No, no
so
doubt.
So you just have to win low-scoring games.
That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. They're live out at Pickles Pub getting you ready for Orioles Nats Game 2 Baltimore Baseball tonight. Live out there as well. Until tomorrow morning, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.